Yahweh Rophi, the God who heals you, is my subject this morning as I continue my autumn teaching series, Praying the Names of God, as we are looking in depth at five great name titles, five of perhaps 26 name titles found in the Old Testament for our mighty and magnificent God. My hope in this series is that as we get behind the names of God, we better understand His character, His heartbeat for humanity, and we can base our prayers more confidently, pray our prayers more confidently, knowing that we are tapping into His will, His desire for all of creation and for us. We began this series 2 weeks ago with the very first name title for God found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, the plural form of God. For we New Testament believers understand that God was already foreshadowing His revelation as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Elohim means powerful creator. The one who spoke and bang, things happened. And then pronouncing over all of His creation, good, yea, very good. Last week we took another step and we added a descriptor to the El of Elohim, El Roi, which means the God who sees. We told the story of Hagar, the first runaway bride. Hagar, who was at odds with her mistress Sarai in the court of Abram. She was carrying a child. She was in great despair. She was running. She was exhausted. She cried out to God. And the angel of the Lord appears for the very first time to Hagar and says, "The Lord has heard you. You shall name your son Ishmael, for he shall be the father of a great nation." Hagar praises God and says, "You are the God who sees me in the midst of my challenging circumstance. And you are the God who wants to be seen." Over these last 2 weeks, we're seeing God's character as powerful creator, yet intimately interested in the lives of people. This morning we take part three and we look together at Exodus chapter 15. Just one verse as we see the third great descriptor, name title for the Almighty, Yahweh Rophi. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 15, 26. The Lord God said to the people of God, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians." Why? "For I am Yahweh Rophi. I am the Lord who heals you." Rophi is the descriptive word here for God, and it's used 60 or more times in the Old Testament. We think 63 particularly, where God's name, Yahweh, is attached to the descriptive action of healing. Rophi means to restore, to heal, to make healthful, to refresh. And it clearly reveals to us God's desire to enter in to the broken places of life. Interesting that in these first three names for God found in the Bible, the first is revealed in the midst of chaos, an unordered creation. The second was revealed in the midst of heartbreak, of despair and running away and being isolated and unappreciated and alone. The third descriptor is spoken to all of us, for God knows that we all have our brokenness. At some place in our lives, we have some form of brokenness, and God continues to reveal His heart, His desire to recreate by healing us. This theme of healing is so important in the Bible that Jesus' very first sermon that He preached, He took the text from Isaiah chapter 61. And I want you to focus in on these words, the heartbeat of our God, a heartbeat to bring hope to the world. This was the text of Jesus' first sermon. It must be pretty important. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up, Rofi. Bind up whom? The brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. We, the people of God, the chosen ones, the redeemed ones, they will be called oaks, not pine trees, oaks with deep roots, then can withstand the storms of life, not pine trees, oaks of righteousness. We, a planting of the Lord for, to be a reflection of His splendor, His gracious goodness in the world. Based on these 60 or 63 passages in the Bible where Yahweh and Rophe are combined together, we get a really clear picture of the character of God. He is the great physician who longs to bring healing to us, mind, body, spirit, and relationships, a holistic understanding of healing, that we may be representatives of His goodness and glory, reflect the splendor of the grace of our God in our lives. Well, if it's true, as the Bible teaches us, that God's character is a character of healing, then where does all the brokenness come from? Why is there such sickness in the world? The reality of life is this: the moment we are born, we begin to die. And every one of us, whether we're in touch with it or not, experiences in life at least one form of brokenness. For some, it's a mental brokenness. For some, it's a physical brokenness. For some, it is an emotional, spiritual brokenness. For too many of us, it is a relational brokenness. Where does all of this brokenness come from? A healthy reading of the Bible tells us that though we were created by an exceptionally good God who gave us the exceptionally dangerous gift of free will, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a radical statement to make, particularly in the 21st century. When we have ceased to take responsibility for ourselves, it's always somebody else's fault, right? It's my mama's fault. It's the school system's fault, right? It's government's fault, right? Hey, we've all been there. But a healthy reading of the Bible teaches us that we have all fallen into sin. Now, the reality is not all of the brokenness of our lives we cause. Sometimes we get caught up in the pebble in the pond idea of someone else's decision making. But let's be honest for a minute. Some of the brokenness of our lives we participated in. Somebody ought to say amen. Some of the brokenness in our lives we participated in. Now, taking the Bible seriously, the early church experiencing the healing grace of Jesus Christ, took the healing ministry of Jesus very, very seriously. The early church stressed the holistic healing of the Holy Spirit of God and saw the church as a hospital for the sin sick and sorrow worn. But unfortunately, as the church progressed through the ages, and especially since the Enlightenment, the church, like society, has fallen into the curse of doubt, the curse of disbelief. And my great fear, my great sadness is that we have lost a vital link that God is providing for us simply because we no longer believe that God is in the holistic healing business. But not so with the early church. I like church history. You didn't know that, but I love church history. And I love reading the great liturgies of the church, how the early church gave voice and structure to who God is and how God interacts with humanity and what God wants to offer us. And one of my favorite books from antiquity is entitled The Testament of Our Lord. We think it was prepared about the year 350 AD, and it is basically an early preacher's manual. Understanding a theology of baptism and Holy Communion, understanding how we represent the heart of God for the people of God. I'm really impressed with the prayer that I've printed on the outline for you today that focuses in on a certainty of the healing power of God. Not one of these weak-kneed prayers that too many of us have prayed. Let me tell you what a weak-kneed prayer is, because you might have prayed it. Oh God, I ask you to heal my brother. I ask you to bring strength to my sister. I claim that you're in the healing business, and just about time we ought to just say amen. We add these incredibly faithless words, and you've done it. If it be thy will. But what kind of weak-kneed prayer is that? When we say, if it be thy will, that says, first of all, we're not really sure what the will of God is. We're not completely convinced as to the character of God. We are giving ourselves an out just in case it doesn't happen. That was not the posture of the early church. Those who knew Jesus, those who knew the disciples, those who saw the healing grace of God at work. And this prayer, which is about 1,750 years old, speaks of a stout confidence in the healing power of God. Now, yes, I've chosen to represent it in traditional Elizabethan language because I like traditional Elizabethan language. But you can update the these, the thous, and all the rest to you and your if you want to. But I want you to listen to the confidence of the early church in the power of the church as God's agent, God's vessel of healing grace for His people. Listen to this prayer. O Lord God, who hast bestowed upon us the Spirit, the Paraclete, that's the Greek term for the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the saving and unshakable name, who is hidden from the foolish, but revealed unto the wise. O Christ, who didst sanctify us, and by thy mercies dost make us the servants whom thou chosest, wise with wisdom that is thine, who didst send the knowledge of thy Spirit to us sinners by the holiness which is thine, bestowing on us the power of the Spirit, who art the healer of every sickness and of every suffering, who didst give the gift of healing to those who were counted worthy of this by thee, a reference to the ordained clergy, send on this oil the delivering power of thy good compassion, that it may deliver those who labor and heal those who are sick and sanctify those who return when they approach to thy faith. For thou art mighty and to be praised forever and ever. Amen. That was the prayer offered over a vial of olive oil as women and men of faith would approach the altar of God, claiming God's character as Yahweh Rophi, the God who heals you, allowing themselves to be anointed not as magic, but as a symbol of God's desire to work healing, wholeness, a refreshment into our souls. For many centuries, the early church held firm to its call of a healing ministry. They obeyed the Lord's command to carry out this ministry in a very literal sense. The ministry of healing was unqualified with the disclaimer, "If it be thy will," because the early church was confident in the character of him who says, "I am Yahweh Rophi." The early church incorporated this healing ministry as given evidence by St. James, the brother of our Lord Jesus, who in James 5 makes this important statement, this great invitation to all of us who have experienced, are experiencing some form of brokenness, mind, body, spirit relationships. St. James writes, "Is anyone among you sick?" I'm going to stop there for a minute because the early church understood sickness in a much, much broader sense than simply a physical sickness. The early church understood what we are only now beginning to reclaim, that wholeness, healing, or on the other hand, dis-ease, sickness, is a more broadly understood concept. For instance, I truly believe in psychosomatic sickness. Do you know what I mean by that? It is absolutely possible for someone to grieve themselves to death. I've seen that power. I have seen the power of sickness manifest itself in a person's body who absolutely refuses to forgive, who is plotting revenge, who is holding a grudge, who is clenching their fist, just waiting to punch somebody's lights out. Sickness, the Bible understands, is far greater than simply this temporary vessel we call the body becoming diseased. So St. James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Then he or she must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him or her, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will," now note the word I've underlined, "will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him or her up. And if he or she has committed sins, they will be forgiven." Now, I've chosen the New American Standard Version here, which clearly uses exclusive language as it comes to human beings, because I think the NASB gets the Greek word right, Most translations say the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And I think that's a challenge for us who tend to think of sickness as being simply somatic, body-oriented. I think the NASB gets it right when we understand that God's healing power is to restore us. I know some people that are terribly physically handicapped, but they are whole people because mind, body, spirit relationships, God's working those together. And where one is missing, others kick in and bring wholeness. I think the NASB is right there. The prayer offered in faith is not magic. It's not a quick fix. It's not like going in the back of the student center here and dropping 50 cents of prayer in the machine and punching in the number and 50 cents worth of healing comes dropping out immediately, instantaneously. No, no. But the prayer of faith accompanied by the anointing with oil that Isaiah said is the oil of joy, the opposite of mourning, the oil of gladness. I really like that concept of the oil of joy because joy and happiness are two completely different concepts. Happiness is dependent upon what happens to us, but joy is what happens through us by the Spirit of the living God. And Isaiah repeated by Jesus, the oil of joy in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. That will cause a person to be restored, to be made whole. Thank you for letting me love you for 5.5 years. And some of you have been so transparent with me and so intimate in sharing your brokenness. So many of you do that on the back of the connection card every week, trusting me with intimate details of your life, knowing that I'm on my knees every Tuesday morning praying by name, by need for you, because I believe in God's healing character, Yahweh Rophe. Many of you have shared those intimate moments with me in my office or at a graveside or at a bedside, and I'm just really honored by that. And so I know that even in a congregation as sharp as this congregation, there's brokenness. Everywhere there is brokenness. I'd like for you to join me in beginning a movement today of reclaiming the confidence of the early church. I'd like to invite you to join me in a movement today in taking seriously Jesus' call to a healing ministry. I'd like for you to join me today in approaching your prayer life by never, ever, ever, ever again saying, "If it be thy will," because you're confident about who God is. From my reading of God's matchless word, I think, I see, I feel a fivefold symphony of God's restoring grace, God's healing grace, that I'd like to offer to you today. Number one, saturate your spirit with God's word and His promises. Know that you know that you know who He is, so you can base your prayer life on His revealed heartbeat. I am the Lord who healeth thee. Number two, confess any known sin. Your experience of brokenness may truly be undeserved, unearned. You didn't participate in it. You didn't earn a diagnosis of cancer. You didn't earn the brokenness of the body. But in some ways you have. I have participated in my own brokenness. Confess honestly, regularly, openly. Get it out. Number three, restore any broken relationships, especially those that don't deserve restoration. Let me say that again. Especially those who do not deserve forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with the person that has offended you. It has nothing to do with him or her. Forgiveness has absolutely everything to do with you and the state of your spirit, the state of your soul, the state of your psyche, the state of your emotions. Walking through life with a clenched fist or clenched teeth is damaging to you. Make the first step with God's help in restoring any broken relationship. Then claim, and if necessary, keep on claiming your healing as we understand restorative wholeness. Mind, body, spirit relationships all working as only God can work them in His supernatural way and in His supernatural time. And then while you're waiting, receive your healing miracle by thanking God and praising Him in advance. Here's what I've learned. Many supernatural healings require an extended spiritual battle and persistent confession. I don't like that. I like the 50 cents of prayer dropped in and the 50 cents of healing coming out. But many healings require a persistence of faith. Your healing may come instantly, but not all come quickly or are progressive. Don't give up. I don't know if your spirit is in tune with mine, but the greatest, worst dart, fiery dart of the devil that he throws at me regularly and too often, I must confess, pierces my spiritual armor is the fiery dart of discouragement, of wanting to simply give up. Don't let it happen. That's why we need each other. King David speaks the kind of praise that I'm thinking of today in Psalm 103, one of my very favorites in the Bible. And in traditional language translations, it will read, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." But I really like the nuance of the New Living Translation, 1996. I think you'll see what I mean. King David says, "Praise the Lord, I tell myself. Praise the Lord anyway, I tell myself, with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He has done for me." What are they? He forgives all my sins and what? Rufe heals all my diseases. He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. And my youth, my spirit, the part of me that will last forever when this cracked pot, as Paul calls the body, this torn, flapping tent, as he says, long after that's gone, my youth, my spirit is renewed like the eagles. I am the Lord who heals you, is the third great revelation of the character, the heartbeat, the intentionality of our mighty God. And I'm wondering who's willing to live in to the character of God. Very, very, very early this morning, I knelt at the altar in our sanctuary, and I took the vial of oil that I carry with me so often, and I prayed this great fourth century prayer of confidence over this little vial of oil, believing that today could be the beginning of God's healing miracle for somebody. There's nothing magical about this anointing oil. There's nothing magical about my anointing you with it. It speaks of the character and the promise of Him who is Yahweh Rophi. I know time is short, and you know I have to dash to my office, jump into the bat cave, and put all my vestments back on again for the third service. But I'd like to take just a moment this morning wondering if there's anybody who wants to live into the character of God and would like to be anointed with the oil of joy, believing that God wants to work His healing miracle through your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for revealing to us unquestionably Your character in these divine names and divine titles in Your matchless word. And I know, great God, how many in this great congregation really are broken mind, body, spirit relationships. I am claiming with confidence the healing ministry of Your church, and pray today through this oil and the anointing that Your Holy Spirit will work healing miracles in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's what I'd like to do if you are willing. The way the Student Center is set up, if you would come by both aisles and two come together and then return to your seat. Two come together. Let me anoint you and pray over you two by two. Come, pray, return. If you want to spend just a moment on your knees in prayer, you are welcome. As you complete your connection cards, I invite you to leave them with an usher after the service and know that we'll be praying together on Tuesdays. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. And good morning. Amen.